day. So more than just being good at something, I feel like it's about being consistent. Because when you push through those bad days, and that's something that I've been learning about, us building consistency in other areas of my life, bro. Like recently, I started working out every day for probably like the past 2 months. And like one thing I've been figuring out is like some of those days you're not gonna feel like working out, but when you do, regardless of how you feel, you train your mind to be like, bro, if I know something is good for me, whether I feel like doing it or not, I'm gonna do it. And
Yeah.
so I don't push myself to absolute failure to where I can't do one more rep, you know, but it's just about staying consistent. And that's bleeded into other areas of my life because Iman says in his course, it's not a business problem. You have a personal problem manifesting in your business. So once you figure out your person, square that away, get your mindset right outside of business, I feel like business is not going to be a problem for you.
So, Dorian, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, man. So Dorian Casey, these guys found me. I run a YouTube channel, and right now I'm just documenting my social media marketing agency journey, and that's pretty much where we're at right now. That's it.
Yeah, I watched your videos, I think, starting back in late August, and I remember you posted this video about how you were getting feedback on all your videos, and then people were saying like, you know, they thought it was too slow or they didn't like the tonality. I personally thought, you know, the opposite. Like I thought the way you spoke, like it was just soothing in a way. Like it was like people like I don't understand why people did not want to listen to that because it was actually really good advice. And I really like seeing all these videos. You've probably seen them too in the agency space of 1 month of SMMA, the truth. And then I feel like that was the style you were going after. And then just seeing like the types of videos you made, it was really interesting to see like the thought process behind everything. And then seeing someone who actually went through and maybe bought Agency Navigator. And I remember that in one of your videos, there was this whole thing you talked about. Like I saw that post too about our Hamza and Iman Godzi, like fake gurus, are they scams? And then that person on Reddit saying, oh yeah, we make way more money than them. And then like Iman was just bragging the whole time. Like that is, yeah. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, with that, those first few videos, I was really just kind of trying to find my traction on SMMA or like on YouTube as far as niche, because you gotta kind of double down on something and find a space to tap into. So I was really trying to see what would take off and what people were liking, because it was a little all over the place. I would go from like poem style videos that was kind of like inspirational. And vulnerable. And then I would switch to like touch on some of the other people in this space, like Iman, like Hamza. And then I was also documenting SMMA and just doing general business advice. So I figured I'll probably just niche down in SMMA since it is such a small space. And then once I do build that following and everything like that, and I can just branch out. So that's kind of what I was going for. Hopefully that answers the question. But yeah.
Yeah, and I saw you started off with drop shipping and then you went into SMMA after. You know, I feel like a lot of people are actually doing that, but and then they just like search up how to make money online, and then that's like one of the first things that comes up. Like, why do you think SMMA is just something that is not discovered until like a long time after?
Well, I think, like I said, SMMA is a smaller niche. Drop shipping is one of those more mainstream type of business models. You know, those ones where you search like online business models to make money, it's like drop shipping or Amazon FBA or affiliate marketing, something like that. And so that was one of those ones that I was like, okay, out of the bunch of mainstream business models, I'll take this one. And the reason I started with that one, the plan all along was to do drop shipping and master my own marketing and then switch to SMMA. But once I like Iman dropped his remote revolution, and I think at the end of July, I was like, oh, you don't got to be a what is it, a professional or anything like that. You could just outsource it, because he was talking about contractor arbitrage. So I was like, this is what I wanted to do all along. You could take this much farther in the beginning without putting so much up front, like overhead. At most, it might be like $200 for software. So that's when I just fully made the switch, and we're in progress right now with it. So
That's I was going to ask, like, what's your process for when you're trying to get new clients? Like, I know you mentioned before that you were doing, like, you were looking at local businesses and stuff like that. So what's your process for reaching out to them? Is that, like, more cold calling because they're local, or is it, like, you know, going through their emails? Like, how do you go about that process?
Well, I think right now what I'm planning on doing is just sticking to the cold calling, because I feel like cold calling, if you can master that communication and, you know, kind of got in a conversation in a way where you can get them on those meetings, then messaging shouldn't be a problem, because you got time to think about and formulate what you're going to say on there. So I'm going to do cold calling. And then what was the other question?
What's your process for when you cold call? Like, are you somebody who makes their calls, like, more personalized or, like, more general?
So I kind of just make it more personalized, I guess, as we go on. Like, it starts off generic, and then based on the answers they tell me, or, like, their tonality, whether they have to be in a rush or whatnot, you know, I'll kind of just change my script. And that's something I've been working on lately. But I think, like, as it goes on, I'll just change the script to figure out what works best. But I think one thing, like, I was learning from Montel as well, was that if you don't know what service to offer them or how to create an irresistible offer in the beginning, you could literally just call, like, 3 or 4 of them and just interview them and be like, what do you guys need help with? And then from there, you can create something that they're willing to pay for, and then call them back and be like, look, hey, John, if I made something to help you solve this problem, get you more money, get you more customers, would you be willing to pay for this? And so that's just kind of my process that I'm planning on doing right now to get some more or as much clients as I can to fix their problems specifically. So,
yeah, I think the one thing with that, though, I think that just offering a guarantee, I think that is, like, the number one way that, you know, these clients are going to turn their heads and are going to be like, yeah, maybe I go for this because there is no risk. But the thing is, It's like risky for you. So, like, do you offer a guarantee or?
Well, kind of in the Agency Navigator course, we've been warned not to offer guarantees. Mm-hmm. If you can't really deliver like that, or you don't have much experience to back it up, because it could come back to bite you.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's nothing wrong with offering it, as long as you put, like, a safety net. Say your media buyer has been known to get maybe 50 to 70 leads, what you could say is maybe like 10 to 20 per month, and that's guaranteed. So you have to tweak it a little bit to provide you safety, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think it's a good idea, like you said, though, guaranteed. I might try it. That's why I said I'm just trying things right now. So I'll probably end up switching, split testing, as they say, and then finding out what works. So.
So it's like a combination between offering something that they can't really resist, and then also, you know, safe, like, being safe with that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, because I'm just starting out, so I don't want that to come back and bite me. They'd be like, you said this, and we're not getting that, you know, so.
How many months have you been, like, into SMMA for?
So I just started really setting everything up, like, the beginning of August, or kind of like the middle of August. I was taking a course through that time. And the course is pretty lengthy. So it took me about a week and a half, 2 weeks to finish. And then from there, I started setting everything up, because I didn't jump straight into it. That's how you set yourself up for failure. So I was setting my website up, setting my domains, scripting out and things like that. And now I just made the switch from real estate to local business. So I had to change a few things down from that. But I think, like, tomorrow I'm gonna do some niche research and start trying to get clients and make a sales call to ask them what they need. But I would say probably like a month and a half right now from starting the course.
Yeah, I think I started around the same time as you. I bought the course, I think, back in early August. But the thing is, I was stuck in that, like, stage you were talking about of analysis paralysis, where, you know, I was just consuming all this information. I know this is something, like, you talk about in your videos that is, like, you should not do. And I was like consuming all this information, but I wasn't really putting anything into effect. Like, I wasn't doing outreach yet. I just thought that you had to be a passive agency owner where you would just consume all this content. And then, like, once you realized all the mistakes that other people made, that way, like, it might save you time instead of just jumping straight in. So
that was the process you had?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't, I, When I really started to get into it, I started to get into it in late August, where I was like sending out Upwork proposals and just doing all that. I think that just by going that route and I guess just purchasing a course and then going straight in that way, while also simultaneously like taking notes and doing and watching other people and their stories on how they made it successful, I think that really helped a lot more, mm-hmm. like rather than just being a passive agency owner. But I know the first thing I watched was Iman Ghazi's student interviews. And then in those interviews, like this one guy was saying that he was a passive agency owner for 4 months and then he just consumed information nonstop. But after those 4 months, he was able to book a client within a Facebook ads client within 1 week, paying him $4,000 per month. So What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think you should be a passive agency owner to start off? Or do you think like you should just jump right in and create a personal brand like you did?
Well, I think it depends, because I've been in this space and like been online and creating content for over a year now. Like I started my YouTube last year around August. And so I've already been, I got that pretty much down. And so I've been trying to run a business. I've been trying to do drop shipping and start these other businesses. So what I'd rather do is just go ahead and stop wasting time and just figure it out along the way. But somebody else that's completely new to the space that has no type of business mindset, because like I said in my previous, in my most recent interview from Iman or about Iman's course, I think mindset is one of the biggest phases that people will like reap the most change and the most benefit from taking. And that's taking somebody that's like a pure civilian, a pure like average person, and getting their mind wrapped around a concept of being consistent, having a business mindset, developing that discipline. But somebody like me that's already been working on that, I feel like I just want to jump in and get straight to it. So it just depends on you as a person. You got to figure out yourself and know what you can do and sustain. Because if you start and say you do sign a client, you might just get lazy because you haven't really built up that consistency. And then you're going to have to end up refunding them or something bad is going to happen. So you got to have your systems in place and make sure that you can do what you said you're going to do. So.
Yeah, I remember the one thing I really like about Iman's perspective on things is that I remember there's a quote of him saying that for him, it wasn't really, he doesn't really see age. Like for him, it was like, he started at 14 and now he's like 22, right? So he did this for 8 years straight on this self-improvement journey, like reading a book a week, meditating, cold showers, all that. And then he got to a place where he's worth like $25 million right now or something like that.
Yeah, something like probably even more now.
Yeah, but I think what he was really interesting was that he said that it's where you started and how long you've been doing that for rather than how old you are. And I thought that was really inspiring. And I think that's why a lot of people in the SMMA space are just really in their late teens and early 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It definitely depends on where you're at as far as how you're going to like approach it. As far like drive and discipline as well, staying to it, because like Iman keeps saying a lot of times, he feel like he didn't have a choice, bro. He had to do that for his mom and his family. And somebody else might just be living good. They come home and they feel like they can relax and there's really no pressure. Also, this one dude, I don't know if you know Heinz Advice. Have you watched him?
Yeah, he was on the podcast.
We filmed with him.
Yeah,
that's what's up. Yeah, so I was watching a video from Heinz as well. And he said, like, how he dropped out of college and his parents was going to make him go back.
Yeah.
And he had, like, 6 months or something, and he waited till, like, the last month. And so after that, he had, like, 25 days, and he scaled his stuff up to, like, 5,000 or 10,000 or something like that. So it's different times in your life, and whether that pressure is on or not, or, you know, what type of person you are, all that is a factor, really. It's not – you can't just – break it down to one thing for everybody. So
yeah, and I think it really is all about the pressure, because you know, I remember hearing the story and someone was like saying that like for example, right, if a teacher gives you an assignment and a deadline, you're going to complete it. If you're for example, like if you have another thing due, or let's say you have a deadline to hit that your boss is saying like you got to get this done by this date, you're going to hit it. But the thing is that when you put a deadline for yourself, and for example, let's say you want to send 1,000 outreach emails per week or something, and then you don't do it, it's a lack of respect for yourself.
Exactly. That's one thing Iman talks about, is you're only the lowest version of yourself that you tolerate. And I feel like it's nothing better than putting those deadlines on yourself. Why would you want to make yourself wait till the last month or anything and have that create that real pressure, you got to be mentally strong enough to create that artificial pressure for yourself, or otherwise you're not going to be able to go to the top in business, bro. Yeah. It's all about continuously scaling and continuously growing. So can never get comfortable. 10K a month, 20K a month, you always got to be reaching for that next milestone. That's what's going to keep you alive and keep you competitive.
Yeah, you ever hear of Adam Walsh? You know who that is?
I feel like I've heard of that name, but right now I can't put a face to it.
Yeah. So he said that there's a thing, like, for example, if you're not making 10K per month, then he says you should not call yourself an agency owner at all, because apparently it triggers something within your brain that makes it seem that you're comfortable. You're in a comfortable place. Like you're not at 10K yet, but you're calling yourself an agency owner. And because of that, you're not pushing yourself as much as you possibly could. And just because of that, like, that could impact how successful your agency becomes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just all about how you look at it. Like, for example, that might work for him. But somebody else, they might need to celebrate the small wins and be like, look, I'm getting this milestone. And now that I got this, I need to go shoot for the next one. Because sometimes we make the mistake of not celebrating the little milestones, and we just work ourselves too hard and burn out because we feel like we're not getting nowhere in a certain amount of time that we set. So, yeah, I mean, that works. But it's like, you know, be realistic with yourself, bro. If looking at it from that perspective motivates you, then use that perspective. But, you know, if you reach 5K and then you're going to be excited about 10K, then split it up. So me personally, I feel like that's the main goal. But coming in with too big of expectations, that's a big way to, like, let yourself down. So I'd rather just shoot for, like, what I think is financial freedom as far as, like, covering bills, or maybe, like, 5K a month. And then from there, you don't have so much, you're not stressed, you're not from a, you know, scarcity mindset. So then you can shoot for that 10K comfortably, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, so it's about, like, scaling at the right rate, basically. Because, you know, everyone wants to be the agency owner that's making, what, 30K, 40K, 50K a month. But, yeah, you know, everyone starts from zero. So I think it's better to set, you know, more reasonable goals. Maybe, like, you start out, like, I want to hit $1,500 this month, and the next month, $1,000, $2,000. And to go up from there, I think it's better like that. Because then once you start hitting all the little milestones in between the big ones, then I think you start to gain confidence. And then with that confidence, I think that your skill increases as a businessman. And then I think that's what makes the big jumps feel, you know, much more attainable. Instead of just saying, like, oh, I want 50K in like a year. So, like, you know, I want 1,000 this month, maybe a little bit more next month. And then I think it's better to work up like that.
Exactly. You always want to put it towards action-based. You want to put your goals towards you staying consistent with it. And as long as you do that, I feel as though whatever number you got, whatever revenue goal, that's going to come eventually. But just make sure you're putting in those action steps. Because one of the main important things is just having that business mindset as a whole, where you're going to build the A team. You're going to start outsourcing work and stuff like that to where the business can run itself. Not necessarily a certain number, because you can be the 10K, but still running all the ads yourself. Is that a true entrepreneur, bro? You can only do so much, and you still won't have time freedom, location freedom. Well, you have money freedom, but those other things, you'll still be tied down. So it's all about a holistic perspective, not just money or goals, like end goals and stuff like that. That's how I see it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then I was going to ask you too. So with your niche, right, have you, like, I know you said, you know, you're reaching out to local businesses. Is that the niche that, like what made you pick that niche specifically after you, like, took the course and everything?
Well, like I said, after doing real estate, or after looking into real estate, I feel like, for one, that is very saturated, especially now with Iman doing his most recent course drop. It's like 3,000 more people that are in the SMA space, and maybe even half of those, I don't know how much, but maybe let's say half of those are wanting to do Facebook ads for real estate. Like, yeah, there's over 2 million real estate agents, but not only is that pretty saturated, but it's a very professional niche, and they do sales themselves. So you gotta have it, like, squared down, because they see it from their perspective as well. So they're going to kind of, you know, measure you up to what they think is good sales. So if you don't really have it, the whole system and the process is squared away, then you're not really going to get pretty far on the phone or outreach or anything like that. and local businesses, you have more room to grow. You can make mistakes and not have everything perfect, but still get clients, still scale. And like I said, I'm not stuck in that. You can still get a 20K, 30K with local businesses, but it's the fact of getting that those clients, learning how to run the business, and then eventually transitioning to something like e-com or real estate once you do get those reps in, get those sales calls and stuff like that. So it's just better to start out for a complete, absolute beginner. That's just what I think about it. So,
yeah, that's the one thing that was really a make or break when I was deciding what niche I wanted to do. And for example, like if you were targeting a personal fitness coach, then like, as you said, if they're doing the same thing as you, they're sending out these Instagram cold DMs, they're sending out just cold, they're doing cold calls, things like that. And then you're doing the exact same thing. Like, how do you differentiate yourself from them and then convince them that, you know, they should trust you because they're doing the exact same thing and they know exactly what you're trying to do.
Exactly. They're doing it as well. So if you feel like, or if you got the same level of expertise as them and they see you stumbling, you don't have your stuff like pretty much perfect where they're like, dang, this guy's really good at selling me. If they don't feel like that, I feel like they wouldn't go with you.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that because they do it every day themselves. So naturally, they're going to judge you based on that. Your reputability, I feel like that's going to be one of those factors. Because I would myself, if I did sales all the time and this person can't sell me, then, I mean, I'm not going with them, you know? So.
Yeah, what was Iman's step system like for this? Like, was it similar to the hybrid system or something along those lines or?
What do you mean as far as like choosing a niche?
Yeah. Like for Montel, it was simple. It was just like you do Upwork, you scale, you get the cash flow around $3,000, and then you start literally getting inbound leads, maybe through Upwork, maybe you go on LinkedIn, and then you just press connect with everyone who works for Upwork, and then people will literally like reach out to you and they'll be like, hey, how are you? And then you'd be like, can you please send your past work over to this email? And then you'd get media buyers that way. And then you could also just hire people off Upwork with the money you made. But and then from there, like all you'd have to do is you could easily scale just doing that. But did Iman have something similar to that or?
Nah, and that's one of the things I was saying, like it wasn't really no set like client acquisition, but it was kind of like more to yourself, like free reign. What he did was he did say that I think e-com is harder for newbies, and then give us kind of some niches that we should start off in and tell us some of the ones we should stay away from. But that was kind of really the main thing of it, was kind of what's good and what you could go for and then what to stay away from. It was never really like do this method, because, you know, like his platform is so big. It is so many people that it wouldn't be right for him to tell us to do one method. It would be so saturated. And that wouldn't work for everybody. So, yeah, it was kind of just more up to us of which ones to choose in the local business niche. So, yeah. And, I mean, some of his team did say some stuff because he made it like a whole education system, right? So he has some of his top sales agents, Paul Daly. I think he said he got a position offered to work for, like, Tony Robbins, I think. But he turned it down to work with Iman. So like he's probably one of the best sales guys in the space. So he was giving us direction and advice on what we should do. And one of the things he did, he did real estate. He scaled that to 100,000. And then some other people that had done marketing as well. And they just kind of gave us their pointers and their different perspectives on it. So that's just really what it was.
So then within local businesses, do you reach out to like any specific type of business or just like, you know, whichever ones are like in your area, basically?
So I'm going to still niche down so I can know how to deliver results for them, because it's still different. Whether it's it can be local, but it's still a sub niche in that, right? So you got kitchen remodeling, and then that might be a different way to generate leads for them than plumbing or car washing or something like that. So that's something I still got to figure out, but that's kind of like my least concern. Right now, the main thing for me was really the first thing for me was really just getting that initial call script to where you can get them to book a meeting. I think that's the hardest part. as far as other people might say setting meetings is easy, but I think that's the hardest part, and that's not even hard itself. But once I get that, bro, client acquisition is going to be a breeze. So, yeah.
I think the number one thing, or like the number one truth that people don't realize about the space, is that everything here is a numbers game. Like, the more sales calls you do, the better you get. It's just like with this podcast, the more podcast episodes we've done, the better we've gotten at this. And that a lot of people think that if they just send maybe 30 a day, right, then they're going to get clients really fast because they're sending maybe, I guess, 210 per week. But the thing is, I you know Montel's rule that it's 2,000 cold emails to land one client, right? You've heard of that, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. And then just being able to go personalize every single cold email that you send. And then, like, I remember in one of his videos, he was saying that it took this one guy to send 15 personalized first line emails. It took him 10 hours. And then just figuring out how to just mass scale while still being able to write personalized first lines fast, that it was virtually impossible. And that's why a lot of people were quitting. A lot of people were getting stuck because they hadn't developed that mindset yet. They hadn't developed the fact that, you know, they had to change these scripts, these cold call scripts, these sales scripts that were presented in these courses. And as you said in one of your videos, that it's becoming oversaturated in the sense of the scripts. But the thing is that it's not oversaturated in the sense of like the whole industry, because it's just maybe in 2008, it took 100 emails to land one client, but now it takes 2,000, and maybe in 5 years it's going to take 4,000 to land one client. The number's just increasing, but it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, businesses are expanding every day, and like, you just got to filter through a lot of them as well, because they might not be hitting your revenue, they might not be qualifying for you as a client anyways.
Yeah.
But they are getting more and more, so those numbers are getting more and more. But I mean, if you really want it, you're just going to put in those numbers. But yeah, that is one of those things that's important. So yeah, rather than being personalized, just have something that's good that you can tweak a little bit.
Yeah.
Some things that you can change rather than just being fully robotic, I feel like. But yeah, 10 hours for 15 emails. I don't know how anybody would think that's a good idea.
Is cold calls your main source?
Yeah, right now it is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick with the cold calls, and then as I scale up, then I'm gonna start like hiring VAs and stuff and touching different touch points and things like that. So, but I feel like right now I can hit like 5K with just cold calls. So this is kind of what I'm sticking to right now.
Yeah. And I think the number one question I had for you was, I remember in one of your videos, you were talking about how, you know, that Jordan Peterson quote that, you know, you should be a monster, ruthlessly ambitious, but you said that you shouldn't be hustling to a point where like you're working maybe 12 hours a day. Like how come you think that? Like, why?
Well, I feel like it has to be sustainable, because you might be really fired up one day, and then the whole week you put in so much work that last week you're like, bro, I'm burnt. And so I feel like you do got to push yourself to that limit. But right before that, like, burnout, bro, you got to have something to keep looking forward to every single day. And so if you give something your all until you're at least absolutely fried, then you won't have nothing else to give those next day. So more than just being good at something, I feel like it's about being consistent. Because when you push through those bad days, and that's something that I've been learning about, is building consistency in other areas of my life, bro. Like, recently I started working out every day. For probably like the past 2 months. And like, one thing I've been figuring out is like, some of those days you're not going to feel like working out. But when you do, regardless of how you feel, you train your mind to be like, bro, if I know something is good for me, whether I feel like doing it or not, I'm going to do it. And so I don't push myself to absolute failure to where I can't do one more rep, you know, but it's just about staying consistent. And that's bleeded into other areas of my life, because Iman says in his course, it's not a business problem. You have a personal problem manifesting in your business. So once you figure out your person, square that away, get your mindset right outside of business, I feel like business is not going to be a problem for you.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I had started this 2 years ago, like all this self-improvement stuff, getting into like Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. Like, that is like probably my favorite book of all time. And then just cold showers, just doing what sucked every single day. And it really took 2 years to build that confidence up. And honestly, I think the gym really plays a huge part in it, because it really measures your discipline. Like if you're able to just keep going every single day, I think it really builds your confidence because you get to a point where you realize you've gotten to a place where you've actually stuck to something for 90, 100 plus days. And I think that is so motivating right there. And like, I don't know if you've ever heard this quote, but it is that, you know, when you're not motivated, you just got to stay consistent because that consistency will bring back your motivation.
Exactly. And one of those main things is just not relying on motivation at all, bro. Like if you're feeling pumped about it, then good. But if you know the outcome that's going to come out of it, regardless of whether you feel like doing it that day or you don't feel like doing it that day, you know it's going to pay off in the long run. And so that should be your motivation every day right there for that, just to stick through, not based on how you feel in that moment, but seeing that end goal, you know, and seeing what's going to come of the other side of doing things every day. And so, yeah, it takes a while, bro. Like it takes a while to get to this point with business. And that's why I think consistency is really what's going to make a lot of people just win by default, bro. Like I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Iman just did his major course drop. And I say, what, maybe 3,000 to maybe 4,000 people are in the Facebook group. They bought the course. But a lot of those people aren't in that right mindset. They haven't done the work to truly be successful and truly stick it out to like scale their SMMA business past maybe even one or two clients. And so naturally, if you just stay at it, you keep at it, bro, a lot of those people are going to fall off eventually. And then it's going to open it up for, you know, less competition and the ones that really just wanted it. And
that's what a lot of people. I think a lot of people. Yeah. What'd you say? My bad.
Go ahead. You good?
Yeah. I think a lot of people are seeing those videos on YouTube. That's like, yes, how I scaled to 10K in 45 days, how I did 100K in 90 days, like how I did this in this amount, like just looking at those funnels and then being like, oh yeah, that could be me. SMMA is a quick way to get rich. I just need a course to get started. And then they use Iman's course, but they think it's going to be really easy, but they just hate the outreach because it's so tedious. And that is what they can't get past it. And I remember hearing the statistic, I think Iman said it, that if you get one client, you're ahead of 90% of agency owners just through that. And it's all about the last man standing. And that was like a huge thing he would talk about in all his videos.
That's really it, bro. It takes that one client to really give you that confidence to get some more. And I mean, most people, I just dropped a poll on my YouTube just for fun, just to interact and, you know, just show up on people's pages of how many clients do you honestly think you will have in the next 6 months? And I was like 0 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9 and 10 plus. And in the next 6 months, most like 50% of, I got like 40 votes. 50% of that, those people said 0 to 3 clients in the next 6 months. So I'm like, bro, really? Like 6 months, 0 to 3 clients. And so, I mean, it's really whoever wants it the most out here, bro, whoever really consistent. And that's, it's really as simple as that. Whichever, any path you're going to pick is hard, bro. Everybody want an easy come up, but if you stay at your regular job, that's going to be hard because you don't like doing it. If you do SMA, that's going to be hard because you got to be your own boss and be disciplined. So, I mean, which one are you going to choose really in the end?
Yeah, I think consistency is so like underrated because honestly, though, like if you're working really hard for like, let's say a month, right? And you're just like straight grinding for that month. If you take like, if you become super burnt out and you take like a week off, you know, it's going to put you back more than if you had just, you know, committed to a steady but manageable amount of work for that month instead and just continued on with that for however long you wanted to. You know what I mean?
Exactly, bro. It's like, oh yeah, pacing yourself. That's one thing that's important as well in like other aspects of life. But I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize in SMMA, depending on your strategy, though, because like you guys say, y'all are going to run the ads yourself with the hybrid method until about 10K. But using kind of the Iman, what Iman is doing, if you go ahead and outsource from the beginning, you can ramp up heavy when you first start. And it's all about just getting those first two clients, first 1 to 3, and then honestly, if you just go hard, once you get that, you can start outsourcing everything. You can outsource like your appointment setters. You can outsource your outreach. And then from there, you can be on sales calls. But even if you don't want to do that, you can have somebody to do your sales calls for you as well. So it's all about how you structure it. But I think a lot of people don't realize that. And they want to just kind of do 30 outreach a day, 50 outreach a day. You go ahead and ramp up and get that hard part out of the way, bro. You never have to do that ever again. You know what I'm saying? So that's one way to look at it as well. One method to approach SMMA.
Yeah, honestly, for me, the whole 10K thing was just like something like personally I wanted to do. He recommends doing 2.5 to 3K first. So there have been a lot of people that like, if you apply, I think the rule of thumb on that is 150 Upwork applications to get your first client. And a lot of people, maybe they'll book $2,400 worth of clients in 2 days because they're just charging 1.2K for a service. And let's say like you got really good at something in like whatever you did before. So for example, for me, like because I've been doing this podcast for so long, I've been doing it since with Devin since like November of 2020. And we got like nearly 2 years under. Like because of the credibility there to say like, oh yeah, I'll help you build this from scratch on Upwork. People will literally pay around $2,000 to $3,000 per month just for that service. And for editing, they'll pay like $200 an hour. So I think just like specializing and specializing in a certain marketing niche, like that really is something that you have a lot of experience with. I think that's the fastest way to scale. And like, if you don't have that experience, of course, then I think account management isn't really even that hard.
Well, also, do you mean like from a consulting perspective, like teaching other people how to do it? You can use the fact that you've done it before.
Yeah, basically. But with consulting, I feel that just that's a lot. That's really hard unless you have a personal brand, because it's weird to outreach to people when you're consulting, because I don't know. It just seems like weird to me. Like when you're
you can't really. Yeah. Because it's like, where's your credibility, bro? Like,
yeah.
But that's one of those things that is also not as competitive because a lot of people aren't taking advantage of it. And so like guys like me and you building our personal brand, making that content and uploading it, that's going to be even easier for us to scale because we're already putting in that work. And now it's probably like second nature, right? To get on these podcasts, to record them. Same thing for me, bro, like recording the videos. So if you go ahead and start, you know, setting yourself up from the beginning, like me, the YouTube channel is going to be kind of like a way to document, but eventually a way to scale. You know, once I build my audience, maybe drop something valuable as far as a digital product or something that people can benefit from. So people don't think about that long term, bro. You can start that in the beginning. There's not a lot of people doing that in the space. Like SMMA on YouTube, it's not a lot.
Yeah, I really think that with the whole consulting thing, I think a lot of people are not there yet because I think it takes around 2 to 3 years to, or maybe it depends on how fast you scale. But like, I think that once you hit around 30, 40K a month, and then you probably go to YouTube from there, like, or I've seen most people do that. And then they just offer tips and advice from there. And then they start consulting because they've grown a following in maybe 3 or 4 months through TikTok and YouTube. But I think it's just because a lot of people aren't there yet. And also, I think that with I remember Iman saying that what he did is that he loved consulting so much. He just loved the fulfillment of teaching other people how to do SMMA and just getting his CMO, I think his name is Dan or something, to just run all his operations and just finding someone that you could trust so much with that and offering them higher incentives and higher salary per year and just basically not even doing anything with the agency and just focusing on consulting full time. Like, I think that is like the dream of an SMMA owner.
Well, yeah, you got to look at it from like a different perspective though. I think a lot of people don't want to hop on until they're experts. But if you're looking at like, for example, Alex Hormozy's content creation thing, well, what he says is if you don't have anything to create, then do something. And then create something around, do something big, create something on that, then do something even bigger, then create even more. So that don't even have to be being an expert, bro. You can document your journey. Like how many people are on there literally documented from start to finish? And then by the time you do get to that point, you already have had a following. You already will have set your systems in place and have your audience ready for you so you can start consulting. So it's like, why, bro? Like, go ahead and add that to one of your like revenue streams, expertise or whatnot. You got to get over that imposter syndrome, bro. Like, just because you're a beginner, I know this one dude is doing e-com right now. He don't even have probably over $5,000 in e-com sales, but he got like 13,000 on YouTube because he just started documenting his failures. His YouTube name is like Mikey Again. I've been watching him. I don't know if y'all seen him before. But yeah, bro, you don't got to know everything to start. You don't got to know anything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devin, what do you think of that approach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same thing as, Eric, what you were saying before with analysis paralysis. It's like where you get caught up in just, you know, learning everything, where you don't actually take action. You know, I think honestly, you probably really need to have a good mix of both if you want to be successful. I mean, sure, you can be successful picking either extreme, but honestly, I think that if you do as you learn, I think that's going to be the best, because then you can see your mistakes in real time, you know? Like, you can see how a certain piece of information might work better for you or might not work as well for you.
Exactly. And plus, it's not a lot of people showing that their most recent wins and their most recent failures. Somebody like Iman, he just recently closed down his agency. So a lot of the big guys in the game that do have those platforms that they build up over time, they might be a little out of touch. So if you're showing it that how you went from zero to 10K in 5 months and people are seeing that, that's even more so than you just making one video and that's your first video saying zero to 10K. People are seeing it in live time. They can go back and watch those videos. And so you are more in touch with the space. People see that, that's even more reputability and branding, because it's all about just people being able to trust you and building that loyal audience. So the sooner you start, the sooner it's better for you, in my opinion. So
the way what'd you say?
I was gonna say, like, then even if people see your failures, right? Like, if you go make a video like zero to 10K and it takes you however long to get there, right? Whereas if you're documenting it the entire way, people can see more of like what the real life process is. I think it's better for them, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah.
The way my thought process worked on it was, I remember like when we started the podcast back in November of 2020, one of the biggest things I regretted was not just niching into something where, like, you know, I built myself up in something like that first. That way, like, I had established credibility through doing so. So let's say I had, instead of starting the podcast, I started the SMMA agency 2 years ago, right? And I had built that up and then I had started the podcast. I feel that just being able to do that, just scaling that, would have been a much quicker way, because you're so credible on something, you're so knowledgeable about that one thing already, that people are listening to you from the start. Like, I didn't really see that. I didn't really think that a lot of people were going to listen to me, like, if I had not been credible yet, like if I had not done something with that yet, because they'd be in the exact same place as me. Like, why watch me, like, when I can offer you no valuable advice if I hadn't been doing it for this specific amount of time period, like, which I thought should be around 6 months, and then actually seeing a lot of results. So, like, that's what I thought about it that way.
That's kind of how you was thinking of, you should be an expert first.
Well, not really an expert, like, not someone, like, for me to define an expert, I would say, like, they're at 100K plus a month, but I'm just saying, like, to be
someone experiencing it though.
Yeah. Like, where you had a little bit of experience, like, where you're just not totally clueless about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And you've gone to a place where you're maybe at 7 to 10K per month, and then you dive into something like podcasting, YouTube, right? And building a personal brand through there.
Yeah. You see, the thing about that is, bro, when you jump into YouTube, it's not just straight make the videos and that's it. It's a lot of other stuff you got to learn with that as well. And you go ahead and get it out the way the sooner you start. Like, it takes a while to get your camera presence down, or to get how to script videos properly and make them interesting. Yeah. Or create a book, or create a marketing strategy to blow up on TikTok, to blow up on YouTube, because all of those are different techniques and different ways you structure those videos. And so when you go ahead and start, you don't have you don't have all that pressure to trying to kind of be an expert and figure it out from just already being an expert in this one area. You're learning all of that as you go along, bro, and it makes the process so much smoother, so much easier.
Yeah, I mean, that's really something I never really thought about. But yeah, that is really interesting, actually. Devin, what do you think?
I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, y'all been doing it 2 years now. So, I mean, y'all pretty much got the kinks worked out. But y'all definitely got to get the YouTube channel, bro. Like, I seen y'all say it's coming soon. But what's up with that? Where y'all at with the YouTube?
Yeah, we gotta do
coming
that.
Soon.
coming soon still, man.
No, I was trying to upload the first video yesterday, but it just never processed. Like, it was processing for like 6 hours.
Dang. You got to keep trying, bro. Figure out how to get that thing on there, bro, because You got to put a face to that name and build up that brand even more so, you know.
How long do, like, would one of your videos take to process and, like, render up onto YouTube?
Now, typically, I think mine take, like, an hour and a half at most.
That's not, for, like, what duration video would that be?
Oh, probably about 10. Usually, like, under 20. So, depending on how long your video is, since you do have a podcast and it is, like, I would say maybe an hour and a half, typically maybe 45 minutes, that is going to take longer to process.
Yeah, but not like 6 hours though. That's like crazy.
Honestly, it might, bro. If y'all doing it in like 1080, you might just have to keep the laptop, don't sleep, and just keep wiggling a mouse or something to put it on, because longer videos, they definitely take a while. So 10 minutes in 1080, that takes an hour and a half. So what y'all are doing is going to take them like a little minute. Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly think you're really going to get big in the SMMA space. And like, I honestly, the bigger creators, like not at Iman's level, of course, or Ty Lopez's level, but just, I think the biggest creators like Henrik Wold, Adam Walsh, Montel Gordon, they're only at like 11, 12, 13,000 subscribers right now. And they're maybe less than 10,000 on Instagram for most of them. So yeah. I think that just starting within the next year, like I think that there's a gap from now and September to December of 2023, like just starting a YouTube channel and a personal brand in that realm, that there's a huge possibility to make it. And then just going into 2024, I think like in 5 years from now, a lot of people are going to know about SMMA, and a lot of people are going to realize, you know, this is actually might be something sustainable, something I should do. But the thing is, like 5 years down the line, you'd probably be at a point where you're so big enough that you're probably at 50 to 100,000 subscribers, and you've already built yourself up to that point. And everyone else trying to get into that YouTube space for SMMA, it's going to be like so saturated to a point where it's just going to be like so much harder, if not impossible, to be successful in it.
Yeah, bro. Honestly, I appreciate you saying that, you know, believing in me about like the future and the potential. But bro, I ain't gonna lie, I've thought about it. And it gives me a rush, really, literally.
Yeah, I know. It's exhilarating.
I'm telling you about how big we could get, because in a few years, like you said, I think SMMA will probably be one of those mainstream business models, like dropshipping, like affiliate marketing. And it's different strategies to this game, bro, that people really don't think about. And I'm thinking, like, I found a gap in the market as well with the Iman's course review. The first one I did, it was just like a little 5 minute video. And I had a challenge to myself to put out like a video a day in August. And that was just something I wrote up together in like 5 minutes. And now it's at like 3.4 views and, you know, 3,400. And that's the type of things that people don't see. They don't peep like a little space or something that you can enter in. And it's a lot, it's enough for all of us to win, really. But it's like, yeah, bro, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot of opportunity there, and it's not a lot of people. So if you start in SMMA, you get that niche, you master that, then you start slowly reaching out your brand. Because if you look at some of the biggest names in SMMA, Montel Gordon, bro, he's been posting consistently for about 2 years now, maybe over that. And he gets maybe like 1.7 thousand, 2,000 views a video. But he could expand out of SMMA even more so if he would do like maybe some of those side hustle videos or something else, you know, just to expand a brand. And that's all, you got to have like your strategies in place, though. You got to have, you know, the way that you think about it and approach to make the brand bigger. And a lot of people don't think about it like that. So me, I'm fortunate that I look at it that way. And so definitely I plan on hitting 100K in like a year, 2 years from now. So.
Yeah, honestly, I think that SMMA with YouTube, like if you're just at 10,000 subscribers, it's actually a goldmine, because everything you're getting is probably inbound leads at that point. And I remember Montel saying he was getting an extra 30 grand per month just off of YouTube prospective clients.
And also, you can't compare the numbers in a space like SMMA or business to something like Logan Paul or David Dobrik, because it's such a much bigger audience for that. And if you think about it, not even from like, if you be realistic, bro, like we do YouTube and we know there's income, we know there's ad revenue on that. Why wouldn't we want to scale our income? So we know we're going to make some videos to potentially, at least me, another form of income. And so the cost per mil, how much you get paid per 1,000 views in the SMMA space, could be from like $15 to like 40 per 1,000 view. And so say you get 100,000 views, bro, that could be, I don't know if my math is correct, but if you get 100,000 views in a month and your CPM, your cost per 1,000 views is like 40, you can get like $4,000 for that month, or 40,000, depending on what it is. But somebody might make laws, and over might get 100,000, and that's on like $400 in a month. So it's a real niche space, but they pay more for that. So that's one another way you got to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. Devin, do you have any more questions?
Not